Ephesians chapter 6. Very familiar passages, a passage of scripture, but I believe it will be very beneficial to us tonight. The Bible says this in verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you bless us tonight. Bless the teaching and preaching of your word, Lord. Help us, Lord, please, God. This is a very important subject, and help us to take this seriously, God. Help us to all, Lord, from the pulpit to the pew, Lord, to apply this to our lives, God. And bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to teach slash preach through this passage tonight, and I want to be very specific and answer this question for you: how to win spiritual battles. How to win spiritual battles. Now, before I actually get into the nuts and bolts of it, let me just make a few spiritual spiritual observations from this passage, all right? As Christians, we need to understand something. We need to understand that the devil is going to bring the battle to us. We got to understand that. And we've got to understand that the Christian life, I love the song Dr. Roloff used to sing, it's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight and not a game. And we've got to get that in our minds. We've got to understand, folks, that the Christian life is a battle. It's a fight. And let me tell you something, the devil is going to bring it to you. Either him or his minions here, as we see in verse 12. Okay, so the devil's going to bring it to you. And because of that, God doesn't expect us to go cower in a corner. That's not what God expects. That's not where God wants Christians to be. Hiding in the corner, afraid of the devil. Now, we ought to respect the devil, but we shouldn't be afraid of the devil. God doesn't want every time the devil come for us to fold like a lawn chair and be like a little puppet on the devil's string. That's not what God wants. What God expects is what he says in verse 13, "Wherefore do you take of the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." That's what God wants. That's what God expects. That's what God has given us the resources to do, is to stand when the devil brings these spiritual battles to us. Listen, folks, you don't have to let the devil beat up on you. You don't have to be the devil's punching bag. You don't have to let the devil, every time him or one of his satanic minions come to try to get you off track, get off track. Okay? But the problem is, what I found out in my life, when I fail, it's because I don't do what the scripture tells me to do be able to stand against the devil. It's not God's fault, it's my fault. And so that's why I want to help us all tonight, that I want to prepare us so that when we fight these spiritual battles, we'll be ready to do battle against the devil. All right? So I want to kind of prepare you tonight, prepare you for spiritual battle, and encourage those who are right in the midst of a spiritual battle. Whether you're going through one right now or whether you're getting ready to enter into one, there's no doubt the Bible guarantees that God allows that you will face spiritual battles in your life. Now, what's going to happen when that battle comes? What's going to happen? If you're not prepared to survive, the devil's going to whoop the fire out of you. He's going to beat you if you're not prepared to survive. I think back a few years ago, I read this illustration, and this has been several years ago, but you probably remember those hikers that were killed. They were lost on Mount Hood. They were hiking, and they got lost up there, and most of them, I don't think they even found them. But it turned out that they tell us that they turned down renting an emergency tracking device that would have sent out a distress signal if they would have been lost and would have been an exact GPS to their location. They turned it down. It only would have cost them $5, but they turned it down. And you know what? They were not prepared to survive, and because of that, it cost them their life. Now, as Christians, the Bible tells us how to survive here. It says in order to survive these spiritual battles, we have to put on the armor of God. Now, these are the things that we as Christians must do to prepare ourselves for spiritual battle. Okay? Notice here, it says we must put on the armor of God. Now, you know, let's just think, for instance, here. Okay, our soldiers that go into battle. All right, our government spends a lot of money training them, thinking especially like our special forces. I mean, a lot of money goes into putting the knowledge up here to make those guys what they need to be effective soldiers. But think about this. How effective would they be if all they did was go into battle with their knowledge? What if they didn't go into battle with their protective gear on? I mean, what if they, you know, just went in to battle not clothed? What if they went into battle without their weapons? What if they went into battle without their boots, without their helmet? Guess what? They probably wouldn't be very effective against the enemy. Now, they had the knowledge. They know what they're supposed to do. But if they don't prepare themselves for battle, they're not going to win the battle. So as Christians, we must prepare for these battles that are coming. Now, it's very important here that the Bible says that we're to put on the armor of God. Verse 11 tells us that. Now, think about this for a minute. Before we can put on the armor of God, the Bible says that we have to take off certain things. In order to put on something, we must take off some things. And the Bible is very specific in the areas. God's very specific in the areas as Christians, the things we're supposed to take off. Let me just read the verses to you. We're not going to turn to them all, but listen, here's just a few of them right here. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. So we're supposed to put off the former things of the old man. That's what the Bible says. We're to put them off. Colossians chapter 3, verses 8 through 9. But now ye also put off all of these. So here's some things God said you got to get rid of. You got to take these things off so you can put the right things on. He says take off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. So we need to put off the deeds of the old man. And by the way, God's very specific what those are. He lists them for us. You know why? Because if we listed them, if we tried to figure them out, we'd leave some off. God gets very specific. God deals with the nitty gritty. So God says you get rid of these things. Now, if you'll notice, a lot of these things are associated, the sins of the old man, a lot of the things we're dealing with here are sins of the tongue. That's a lot of the things I just mentioned there. Listen, folks, and I'm not going to get off on this tonight, but let me just mention it. You will not survive spiritual battle if you don't keep your tongue right with the Lord. You won't survive. I mean, look, that's why as Christians, we got to confess our sin to God every single day. You got to do it. I know I mention it every single time I preach about this whole thing of daily confession, but it's so, so important. You got to keep yourself right with God every day. You got to keep the old man put off. And by the way, folks, it's a daily thing you got to do. Amen. Daily. Man, that old man wants to creep up on us, doesn't he? Yep. I mean, he wants to, by the end of the day, especially you men that work out right in the midst of the world, you're around it all day, and by the end of the day, that old man wants to just creep back into us. He wants to take us over. I mean, sometimes you'll find yourself, maybe after a long day work, you get home, and you're like, why did I just think that? Why did I just say that to her for? Well, I'll tell you why. Because that old man, he's got to be put off. Now, once you begin to put off the old man, you can put on some things. And that's the nitty-gritty things I want to talk about tonight. I'm going to be very specific, and I want to teach through this passage here. So how to win spiritual battle, all right? You got to put on the armor of God. And we're going to go through this tonight, and I want to explain it to you, and I want to make it very practical for you, all right? Here we go, verse 14. Once again, remember, here's the command. Stand therefore. Remember, God expects us to stand. Yep, yep. That's what God expects. Expects us to stand. I mean, we need some Christians that when the devil brings it, hey, they bring it right back to him. Yep. Amen? Because they're standing. All right? Now, if you're going to do that, you've got to follow God's formula. Okay? And he's going to give it to us. Here we go. Number one, the first thing he says in verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. This means this. Your loins girt about with truth is the first piece of armor you'll put on. And it means this. You must protect your morals. That's what he's talking about. Because the loins is the hip area of the body. And we all understand what that is. God says that these areas must be protected with truth. Very important. Our morals must be right. Let me give you a couple things about how to keep our morals right. Number one, understand this. God expects Christians to be morally pure. God expects it. Where in the world have we got off this new evangelical movement that where people think that it's not that big of a deal to, if you don't like your wife, it's not that big, just get divorced and get another one. And most of them, sometimes, it's no big deal to have relationships on the side. You would be amazed at what goes on in, quote, churches across our land. Listen to me, folks. That's not what God wants his children to do. He expects us to be morally pure. Let me give you some verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18. Notice here, it's a two-word sentence in the it's the imperative form. Flee fornication. Flee it. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Listen to me, folks. All sin has consequence, but may I say this? When we sin morally, there's higher consequences for those sins. All sin affects us spiritually, but moral sins affect us more than other sins. All right, it's a big deal to God. What? Paul has this question. Are you kidding me? What? Know ye not that your body's the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you? Which ye have God and you're not your own? We read that verse this morning. Why does God expect us to be pure? Because the Holy Spirit of God, Jesus, lives inside of us. Amen? Now notice here that the emphasis, okay? He says, listen to me, you've got to keep yourself pure. What? Know ye not? Common sense here. All right? Let me give you a simple illustration here. When I bought my truck back in 2005, all right? What would have happened when I bought my truck if the previous owner said that they were going to go ahead and keep the extra set of keys and that any time they wanted to go putting around town, they were just going to come and get it? Now, how much would I really own that truck if they yet kept the keys to it? Now, listen, that's how ridiculous it is to God when we think that we can run our lives through the muck and mire of this world when he's the one that bought us and we belong to him. That's how ridiculous it is. I mean, it would be ridiculous for us to think if we bought a car that the person we bought it from has the right to come and get it and use it and do whatever they want, abuse it and do whatever they want with it. It's ridiculous. And it's even more ridiculous to God that we think we can take what he's given us, that he bought at a huge price, which we thought about and remembered tonight, the price that was paid, and run it through the muck and mire of this world. So understand, God expects his children to be morally pure. Young people, did you hear me? God expects you to be morally pure. Okay, adults, did you hear me? God expects us all to be morally pure. Keep your morals right. Okay, number two about morals. God brings special judgment upon those who are not morally pure. Special judgment. Okay, the Bible promises it. Listen to this verse. Marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled. Okay, but whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. It's a promise. God will judge. Listen to me. God says that the physical relationship inside the bounds of marriage is honorable and right. God's not trying to deny you something that's good. Okay? Within marriage, it's honorable, it's right. But notice here, when man decides to do it his way and get away from God's plan, guess what happens? Judgment comes. And folks, we this is so important here. All right? And we can look around our world today and we can see how God is bringing their self-inflicted judgments for this sin. Okay, I could give you the statistics tonight about STDs. I'm not going to do it. But listen to me. God judges moral sins. We need to understand that. All right? We got to protect our loins with truth. Last of all about our morals is this. You will be hindered in spiritual warfare if you fail in this area. Now, I'm not saying that you can't ever not be what you ought to be if you fail in this area, but you will be hindered. I'll never forget this. It's always been with me. When I was a teenager, and Brother Jack Gordon, before Pastor Jerry came back and was our youth pastor, Brother Jack Gordon, Sister Penny were the youth leaders. I'll never forget a time. I was young. I was probably 12, 13, 7th grader, I think, in the youth group. And Brother Jack was teaching about this. I'll never forget the illustration. He brought one of those big ceramic, I call them a crock. You know what I'm talking about? One of those big old ceramic crocks. They're teaching about moral purity. And he said our life is kind of like this crock here. where God wants to use this, and just as people use this crock to be useful, God wanted to use our lives that way. But he said, if you mess up in this area, he took that crock and it shocked the time out of all. He chucked it across the room, just chucked it. And of course, you know what happened. When it landed on that concrete floor downstairs, that thing shattered in a million pieces. Yes, sir. Now he said this, he said, you know what? It is possible. It would be hard, but it's possible to take every piece of that crock and glue it all back together. But how useful would that crock be? Glued back together, it was all shattered like that. And folks, think of your life like that if you drop in this area of morals. Now thank God, God can super glue us back together. I'm thankful for that, amen? But you will be hindered in spiritual warfare if you fell in this area, all right? So there's a reason that God put this first on the list. I believe this is the one area that the devil tries to attack us first in. He's going to try to get you first in this because he knows if he can get you here, you don't have to worry about anything else. So he's going to come after you. Young people, he's going to come after you. Adults, he's going to come after us. We got to protect our loins with truth, all right? The truth is that this, that when it comes to moral purity, it must be done God's way. God's way, all right? Listen, God's not trying to get you to deny you certain things. He just wants it done his way, all right? So number one, we must protect ourselves morally. So if you're going to win a spiritual battle, when it comes, you got to be protected in that area. Number two, here's the second area, the second piece of armor you got to put on. It's also found in verse 14. Notice here. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness. Now, this simply means this. It means doing right. That's what it means. I know you were waiting for this big, complicated, exegetical from the Greek answer. What's that mean? It means to do right. That's what it means. Okay? Listen, a breastplate was the piece of armor that protected the vital areas. Okay? It protected the heart, the lungs, the kidneys, the liver, all the vitals. Now, God tells us that when we do right, according to the word of God, we are protecting our vitals against the attacks of the devil. The breastplate will protect you from outright frontal attacks that are meant to kill you in one shot. That's what the breastplate does. Listen, what's important here is the source of what we define right is. That's why I said the doing of right, it's according to the Bible. Because some people think the doing's right, whatever they want it to be. I mean, hey, the philosophy of the world today is if it feels good, do it. Okay? I mean, most people think they're doing right. If you ask them, you think, oh, yeah, I'm doing right. They got the judge's mentality. Everybody doing right in their own eyes. But listen, we've got to define right according to the word of God. It's not what society thinks. It's not what our peers think. It's what the word of God says is. All right? Now, it's a very important here. The devil, you know, here's just a quick, simple illustration here. Okay? The devil wants to, maybe he wants to try to attack your testimony with something like alcohol. Okay? And listen, you say, well, when that frontal attack comes to kill your testimony, all right, you've got to protect yourself by, here's something, here's you use scripture to protect yourself. Proverbs 20, verse 1, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Whosoever deceived thereby is not wise. What you're doing is, when the devil attacks you in that area, something that will kill your testimony, then you'll be protected by these things. By just simply of doing right. Hey, the Bible says this is wrong. That's what I'm going to not do because it's wrong. The Bible says this is right. That's what I'm going to do because it's right to do. All right? So, when the outright frontal attacks come to try to kill you and to go after your vitals, and you must simply do right according to the word of God. What's the Bible say about that? All right? What is right to do? And I'll be honest with you. In most instances, if we look at the Bible, we can pretty much figure out what's right and what's right to do. Because the Word of God has the answers for it. The Bible either gives you a direct command or a Bible principle to decide what is or what is not right. All right? So just simply do it. Now, I know sometimes we got the knowledge up here. But actually, the knowledge up here isn't what protects you. It's the actual taking the knowledge and putting it to practice is what protects you. It's the doing of right. All right? So that's what the breastplate will protect you from. It's kind of like a bulletproof vest. All right? Chad told me his brother, when he was fighting in Iraq, he took a shot from an AK-47 right in the middle of his chest, but the bulletproof vest stopped the bullet. Said he actually just pulled it right out. Now, what would have happened if he would have had that vest on? Died instantly. right through the middle of the chest. But that protected him, okay? And as Christians, that's what righteousness does. That's what the doing of right does. It protects us from those shots that the devil wants to use to take us out immediately. All right, let's look at the next one here. The third piece, and we're moving right along. Verse 15. Okay, so first of all, we have the loins girt about with truth, the breastplate of righteousness, verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. All right, so the next thing, the next piece of armor is the preparation of the gospel of peace. It simply means this: be ready to tell people about Jesus. That's what it means. Listen to me, folks. If you're a soul winner, that'll keep you out of a lot of problems. That'll keep you from a falling when the devil comes against you. Now, you may wonder what this little phrase has to do with spiritual warfare. Okay, I mean, you know, your feet shod the preparation of the gospel of peace. Okay, now look, what's so important? Why does he say your feet here? Because your feet is the part of you that determines the direction that you're going. That's what's important about your feet. Hey, if you're going to win in spiritual battle, your feet have got to be pointed and going the right direction. And that direction God wants us going is the area in which the whole Christian life's all about. It's about souls. That's why God put the church here, is to win souls for Him. That's what it's about. So we protect ourselves, we protect our feet by going in the right direction, and that direction is going after the souls of mankind. And we're protected in that way. That's why at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, we have a strong emphasis on bus ministry, on soul winning and evangelism, reaching out to people. Why? Because it protects us. It's part of the armor. You see, folks, you got to understand, and I think you do understand this, but there's been an epic battle that's been going on since the creation of mankind between God and Satan. Look, Satan knows that he is not more powerful than God. He knows that. He knows that in the end, he is not going to win. He's not stupid. He knows. So in the meantime, what he wants to do is try to go after God's most prized creation, and that is man. The closest thing to God's heart, man. And the devil does it. He unleashes his demons upon men. He does everything he can to take people to hell. Now see, look, folks, I know you get this, but it's good for us to hear again. God never intended for any person to ever go to hell. You understand that? Okay, that's why this whole Calvinism stuff is a bunch of garbage. God never created people to go to hell. God doesn't want anyone to go to hell. But you know what? God gives us all a choice. And because of that, the devil preys upon the choices that men make. The devil preys on that. So this battle rages every day throughout the entire earth. God wants man to be saved from the sins and a life, and give them a life to glorify Him. But the devil wants to destroy people and keep them blinded to the gospel of Jesus Christ, which can set them free. And by the way, the devil's doing a pretty good job at it. This world is blinded. But as a Christian, when that battle comes, we got to keep our feet on the right direction. Well, how do I do that? How do I shod my feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace? Just a couple simple things here. Number one, you got to go. You got to go. Matthew 28:19, go ye therefore, teach all nations. Remember what Pastor Ross used to say? The Great Commission doesn't get any goier. I love it. Getting any goier. What's he saying here? Look, God says to go. That's what you got to do. Look, if you're not actively going, then you know what? You're not prepared for spiritual battle. If you're not actively going. All right, now, you know, we provide opportunities here at the church in the schedule to go. Now, that's not the only time you go, obviously. Remember, soul winning isn't something that you just do in a time slot. Being a soul winner is something that you are. You're always looking for opportunity, okay? You witness all the time, everywhere, okay? But look, you got to go. That's what God says, is to go. All right? So if you're not going, if you're not going out, then you're not really prepared for spiritual battle. Okay? And God wants everyone to be involved in getting the gospel out. So you got to go. All right? I could give you scripture about that, but we're going to keep moving. What else? How do I shod my feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace? Is this: understand something, that when you go, your job is not to make them believe. All you do is tell. Okay, we can't make anybody do anything, folks. Okay, that's God's job. And I'm glad God didn't give me the job of changing men's hearts. I'm glad, look, God says, you do your part, I'll do my part. Your job is to go. My job is to work on the heart. Okay? So that's what we've got to do. And when you do those things, you're shodding your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So let me ask us all a question. What direction is your life going when it comes to getting the gospel to mankind? Are you involved in that at all? I mean, hey, are you involved in handing out tracts? Are you actively involved in trying to win people to Christ? Okay? I mean, I get it. Some folks are not able to actually go out and walk on the streets and knock doors because of physical problems. I understand that. But that doesn't mean that we all can't be involved in some way in getting the gospel out. We must be involved, folks. And let's never lose sight of that. That's the direction of our life. That should be the direction of our church. And if you do that, you'll protect yourself. All right? So that was piece of the armor number three. Let's look at the fourth piece here, verse 16. Above all, pretty interesting words there. Above all. You know what that means? That means, hey, all these pieces are important, but this is the most important one. That's what he says. Above all. Here it is. You ready? Taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now, we talked about this morning a little bit about faith. Let me just go over a couple things with you. Is this: the shield of faith is your belief and confidence in God and His Word. That's what it is. Now, notice what the verse says. It says, above all. Okay, this is a very, very important thing here. Why do you think God said, above all, taking the shield of faith? Okay, now look. You have to understand what a shield was used for back in the days of hand-to-hand combat. Okay, the shield was the first line of defense. Okay, hey, the breastplate wasn't the first line of defense. Okay, I mean, hey, when the archer shot, they didn't jump out and try to dodge him with their breastplate. God, stop the arrow. That's not what they did. They didn't stick their head down and try to let the arrow bounce off their head. No, they ducked under those shields. First line of defense. Okay? Now understand something, folks. The devil's going to try to pick you off with some fiery darts. That's what he says here. The reason you've got to have that shield of faith, the reason you have to have confidence in what God says and in His Word, because the fiery darts will be shot at you. Okay, I have no doubt. Listen to me. I'm not trying to scare you by saying this, but it's true. If you go to a church like Blessed Hope Baptist Church, you are on the devil's hit list. We're on the devil's hit list, folks. I mean, he wants to take us out. Anybody that's actively involved in a church like ours doing something for the Lord, okay, the devil wants to take us out. So we're on his hit list. He's going to shoot them fiery darts at us. I mean, what's going to keep you from getting one of them fiery darts gouged in your neck? You know what's going to keep you? Your shield of faith. It's very important here. All right, let me give you a few aspects about the shield of faith. Number one, your shield is built and strengthened by the Word of God. That's how it's built. And so we talked about this morning. Okay, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That is why it's important, young people, that you sit up and listen during preaching. That's why it's important. Because you know what you're doing is? You're allowing your shield to be tempered and made strong. That's why it's important that you have a relationship with the Bible every day. Notice I just didn't say read the Bible every day. Have a relationship with the Bible every day. You know why? Because it builds that shield. And listen, you need it. Oh, you may be protected now a little bit because of your environment. But one of these days, you're not going to be as protected as you are now. You're going to have to face something called reality. And guess what happens? And it usually happens the summer when our seniors graduate high school. It's almost as soon as they get that diploma, the devil's got the bow back. And as soon as they take that diploma, he launches one. And I'm sick and tired of seeing people who claim the name of Christ go crash and burn because they don't have a shield of faith. Now look, we got to have that shield. Young people, you got to have it. It's not a stinking game. You got to have it. The devil's got them fiery darts locked and loaded, ready to, he wants to put one right in the center of your forehead. And you got to use that shield. So your shield of faith is strengthened by the Bible. The shield of faith will protect you. Listen, the devil's got darts out there, okay? He's got the darts of false beliefs. There's young people that graduated from Blessed Hope Baptist School that used to go here who now go to churches who teach false doctrine. When they go to church. The church they go to soothe their conscience. They go to places that teach false doctrine. False beliefs. I've had them say this to me. Graduates of Blessed Hope Baptist School. I ask them, try to encourage them and get them back where they need to be. Hey, they've said this. I don't even know what I believe anymore. No, that's right. You know why? They don't have a shield of faith. Them darts of false belief. Come on, Christians, you know what I'm talking about. Hey, hasn't there been times of doubt in our lives? God, what's going on, Lord? Is the Bible even true? I mean, really? I mean, is heaven even real? I've thought those things before. The devil's coming after us with them darts of false belief, darts of doubt, okay? Hey, look, Peter had darts of doubt, all right? Remember when the angel came to Peter and tried to get him to go see Cornelius? Here's what he said. Arise, therefore, get thee down, go with them. Here's what the instruction was. Doubting nothing. You know why he had to tell Peter not to doubt? Because Peter was doubting. Okay, and folks, listen, that shield will protect you from the doubts of those fiery darts. Okay? I mean, look, I mean, if you always find yourself doubting whether or not the Bible is true, the Word of God, doubting whether or not, you know, we're the only right way. How many times have I heard people say that? Well, everybody thinks they're right. How do you know you're right? And you're like, maybe sometimes you walk away from that encounter thinking, well, how do I know I'm really right? Okay? You know what protects you from that? Shield of faith. Okay? So listen, folks, we got to have it if we're going to survive spiritual battles here. Look, the devil doesn't play fair. He doesn't play fair. He plays dirty. He's got the dirtiest tricks up his sleeve. He don't care what he does as long as he takes us out. So he's going to play dirty. Understand that, all right? So get that shield to protect you, all right? So what are the pieces we've covered so far? Number one, loins protected with truth, moral purity. Number two, breastplate of righteousness, the doing of right according to the Bible. Number three, feet shod, the preparation of the gospel of peace, giving the gospel to a lost and dying world. Number four, shield of faith, complete trust and confidence in the Word of God. All right, here's the fifth piece here, verse 17. And, notice here, all these things, you got to have them all. Okay, and take the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. What's this mean? It means this. It means the hope, the confidence of the fact that you know you're saved. That's what it means. The hope of that. Okay? Now look, folks, I went through a time in my teenage years where I had serious doubts of my salvation. I knew I got saved when I was 9 years old. I knew it. But you know why I had doubts? Because I wasn't living right. And because I wasn't living right, I began doubting my salvation. And I went, Lord, am I really saved? Look, you've got to have complete confidence of the fact that you're saved. You've got to put that helmet of salvation on. Okay? The Bible clearly tells us, okay, let me just give you a couple verses here. Titus 3:17, that being justified by his grace, okay, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Hope of eternal life. We have that hope, okay? I love these verses, Hebrews 6:18-19. Here's what it says. That by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Notice here, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. That's a pretty confident statement right there. You got truth, folks, to anchor your soul to. And that truth is the fact that if you've trusted Jesus Christ, you're going to heaven. You're protected. Okay? Now, the helmet protects your head. Okay? I remember one time I was teaching about this, and I had someone come up for an illustration. It may have been in chapel or something, and I think I got in kind of a little bit of trouble over it. Someone I don't think liked the illustration, but I think I had someone come up and put on a helmet, and I think it was my ATV helmet, and then I had a baseball bat, and I'm like, you know, the helmet protects your head, and I took that baseball bat and tapped someone on the head with it, and it didn't hurt him. Okay, it wasn't their parents that got upset, but someone who was a visitor came and saw that, and they got mad at me for that, all right? And I was young. I was probably, you know, 20, 22, 23 when I did it. Maybe I did tap him a little hard, but it protected him, okay? Now look, that helmet protects the head. It protects it. Now you know what? If I were to do that, if I were to take an aluminum baseball bat and tap you on the head, it's going to hurt. But if you got that helmet on and you get tapped in the head, it doesn't really hurt. I mean, you might feel a little thud, but it's not going to hurt you. You're going to take that helmet off, no lasting effects from it. Although some of you guys are kind of brain dead anyway, but no, just kidding. But you know, that helmet protects the head. Now listen to me, the devil doesn't want you to have the hope and assurance of salvation. He doesn't want you to have that hope. I mean, he wants you in doubt. He wants you in turmoil. He wants you wondering every time you turn around if you're really saved, if you're really going to heaven. Look, if he can fill your mind with constant doubting, you will not be a very good soldier. You just won't. That's why you got to protect your head. By the way, what's in the head? Well, for most of us, a brain, right? You know what that's talking about? Talking about our thoughts, our thought process. You protect that with the hope of salvation. All right? And I could give you more verses about that, but we're going to keep moving. All right? So, your head is protected, the helmet of salvation. Now, here's the next piece of armor here. Look what we see here in verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And the next piece of armor, I want to list one more on here after this one, but the next piece of armor is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Very, very plain there. Now, so far, all the pieces we've talked about tonight have been defensive armor. Okay? Your loins girt about, your feet, preparation of God for peace, protect your feet. Okay? Your helmet protects your head. Your shield protects everything here. But God gives us one piece of offensive weaponry, and that is the Word of God. Listen to me. Let me just say this very plain and clear. A Christian that does not have a relationship with the Bible, okay, it's like a soldier going into battle without a gun. I mean, what good would a soldier be if he was all outfitted, bulletproof vest, helmet, everything, but he went in to kill the enemy, no weapon? He would be not effective at all. You know what makes him effective against the enemy? His weaponry. Okay? And look, God gives us weaponry. I'm so thankful that God gives us something that we can put the devil on the run with. Okay? Look, Jesus, perfect example when he was here on earth. Okay? Jesus, who is God, when he was here, he was God. As powerful as he was when he was on earth, he chose to fight the devil the same way we have to fight him, with the Word of God. He chose to fight him the same way. He used Scripture to fight the devil. And by the way, you know what you find after the devil? Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness fighting the devil. You find that the devil left him. You know why? Because get this. The devil cannot stand against the Word of God. Can't do it. Okay? That's your offensive weapon. Your weapon to get the devil on the move is the Word of God. Okay? You know, when I was a teenager, I got some counsel from Pastor Ross. And it seems like the more I study and preach, the more the things he taught me just keep coming back and back and back. And I love it. And but he told me this one time, and you've probably heard him say this before, but this helped me so much as a teenager. He said this: you can't keep the bird from flying over your head, but you can keep him from building a nest in your hair. That's what he told me. And you know how I applied that? This was how my crazy mind works. Every time I get a bad thought flying over my head, I would picture taking a shotgun, blowing the bird out of the air. And you know what the shotgun ammunition was? It was Bible verses that I memorized. And guess what? It works. Hey, it still works today in 2013. Hey, you know what we got to do is this. Those besetting sins that the devil brings in our lives that we had that we struggle with, okay, or any sin for that matter, you know what we got to do? Is when those things come upon us and the devil's after us hot and heavy, okay, you got to target that with the Scripture that corresponds to that and blow the devil out of the water with it. Start quoting. Hey, you know what he told me? Pastor Ross said this: talk out loud to the devil. He told me to do that. Okay, and he said, now I'm not saying do that in front of everybody, but go and talk out loud to him. And you know what I would do? You know what? Me and the devil have a conversation sometime. Okay, I remember when Pastor Jerry said when he was a teenager struggling this, and that one time he was working, and he chucked a pair of pliers across the room and told the devil to get out of there and started quoting Scripture. Hey, you know what? Talk to the devil. Okay? Talk to him using Scripture. Okay? And I promise you, you start talking to him with Scripture, he's not going to stand around for long. You know why? Because Hebrews 4:12 tells us this: for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, as discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God is powerful. It's powerful. God has given us a powerful weapon in His Word. Hey, do you realize the Word of God is what God uses to get down in someone and work on their heart? That's why we must give Scripture when we're talking to people. We got to do it. I mean, you know, I think it's fine to lead someone through the Romans road. You know, talking to them. Maybe if you have a gospel tract, pointing out the Bible verses. But folks, listen, you got to get the Scripture involved when you're winning someone to Christ. I love just whipping out. You know, it's fine if you want to use a tract, but I want to get my Bible out. I like whipping out that New Testament, okay, and showing them the Word of God. Okay, now if the Word of God is written on a track, it's going to work too, okay? But you got to use the Word of God. It's a powerful, powerful weapon. And it's what it's the offensive weapon that God gives you to whip the devil. You got to use it. All right? So if you're going to win a spiritual battle, you must have a relationship with the Word of God. You got to have a relationship with it. And last of all, number 7, we'll end on this one. Verse 18. Now, I don't know if maybe everybody includes this in the armor, but I think it's vital. Look what it says in verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Here's what I believe this piece of the armor is this. Prayer is the fuel that gives the soldier his energy to fight the battles against the forces of darkness. Prayer is the fuel. Okay, how good would a soldier be? Okay, he's all outfitted. Okay, he's got his weapons. I mean, everything else is right. And for a time, he can go out and fight pretty much in his strength. But guess what happens after a while? Okay, your body needs fuel. You know, part of our soldiers, what they carry is a canteen. You know why? They got to have the fuel in their body. You know what's going to happen if they don't put no fuel in their body? Guess what? All those weapons they have are not going to be useful because they're not going to think properly because they deprived themselves of the fuel they needed to keep themselves going. And as Christians, if you're going to win a spiritual battle, you must have a prayer life. It's your fuel. It's what fuels you. Okay? Not praying for the Christian is like going into battle with a tank loaded down with troops and ammo, but no fuel in its tanks to make it run. I mean, you can have the tank all loaded out. I mean, it's got the best, it's ready to go to battle. But guess what? The tank won't start because no one put gas in the fuel tank. That's what it is as a Christian by not praying. Okay? I don't think we understand how important prayer is. You realize God mentions prayer over 400, there's over 450 times in the Bible mentioned about prayer. Prayer is so, so important. Okay? And remember this, folks. Prayer is many things. Okay? Preacher's taught us this, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it because he just taught us this. Okay? But prayer is many things. The word prayer simply means to ask. Now, not all praying your time with God should be praying. There ought to be other things you do when you meet God every day. Okay? You say, well, how do I have, that's why I like using the word relationship with your Bible and a relationship with the Lord, because it's more than just doing something. It's all about the relationship you're building with the Lord. I mean, what kind of relationship would I have with my wife if all we did was one time a week just did something together? That's not much of a relationship. Relationship is those times where you talk about things and you begin to think alike and you begin to do things with one another all the time. That's what I'm talking about. Well, what's it mean to have this type of prayer? Let me just give you 4 simple things. When you your prayer time with God, there ought to be some things that happen. Number one, you ought to spend some time bragging on God. Yep. Tell God how good he is. Yep. God knows it, but he wants you to tell him. Yep. I mean, the first part of your prayer life, I mean, when you begin praying every day, okay, it shouldn't just be, oh, Lord, help me have a good day. Bless my mom, bless my dad, bless everybody, bless those that are unsaved, amen. That's not praying. That may be a little bit of something, but that's not what God wants you to do. That's not going to fuel you much. That'd be like being super, super thirsty and just getting a tiny little drip of water from the water fountain and putting it on your tongue. It's not going to quench your thirst. It's not going to do much for you. Okay? Spend time bragging on God. Listen to me. If you'll follow this outline, you know what you'll find when you begin to develop a relationship with God? You'll be surprised how fast the time goes. I don't know, you know, I'm not throwing anything out there or anything like that, but you know, it's really, if you do these things, it's not really hard to spend a reasonable amount of time with the Lord in prayer. It's really not. Listen to me. You're not going to survive 5 minutes a day on prayer. You're not. You're just not. You're not probably going to survive 15 minutes a day on prayer. Now, I'm not trying to just throw numbers out there, but I'm just saying, folks, you got to have this relationship. By the way, you can pray more than just one time a day in the morning time. I mean, you know, that's why I think it's important sometimes when your mind's not necessarily occupied. Driving is a great time for that. Spend time praying, all right? So number one, brag on God. Tell God how good he is. Brag on him. Number two, confess your sins to him. Confess them. I mean, get personal with God. Hey, God, guess what? I can't believe. Lord, I'm so sorry. I thought this thought today. Oh, yeah. Tell him what you thought. He knows it anyway, but he wants you to confess that to him. Okay, confess your sin to him. Number three, pray for the needs of others. Okay, spend time praying for other people. Okay, I've heard preachers say this. One of the biggest lies Christians tell is this: I'm praying for you. How many times do we say that and we don't really mean it? Okay? Spend time praying for the needs of others, then pray for your own needs. You know what I found out in life is this. When you begin to get a close relationship with God, you spend the majority on your time on bragging on God and confessing your sin than sometimes the other things. Now, I'm not saying there's not times of concentrated prayer where you need to really get a hold of God about something and you've got to really spend some time going over some things, personal needs, needs for others. Yes, there is. But I'm just telling you this, folks. When you begin to develop that relationship, okay, there's no way to explain it unless you've experienced it. You ever been someplace before and you try to tell somebody about it and you just can't do it justice telling them about it? I remember the time that we went to the Grand Canyon and you came back and I tried showing some pictures and explaining it all. But if you've never not been in the Grand Canyon and you've seen pictures and heard about it, and the first time you see it with your own eyes, whole different experience. It'll blow you away. Whoa, I mean, it's breathtaking. And that's the way a relationship with God is. Once you begin to get that and know what that is and begin to know God through prayer, okay, listen to me. It won't be that hard to set that alarm clock a little early and spend time with Him every morning, okay? So prayer, you got to have it. So how am I going to win spiritual battles? How am I going to do it? Number one, keep your loins girt with truth, moral purity. Number two, wear the breastplate of righteousness. Simply do right according to the Bible. Number three, keep your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Be busy giving the gospel. Number four, keep up your shield of faith. Have confidence in the word of God. Okay, believe that God says He's going to do what He's going to do. Number five, the helmet of salvation. Keep the hope of salvation. Don't allow the devil to make you doubt your salvation. Number six, the sword of the Spirit. Use the word of God. Number seven, prayer. Prayer. And if you'll do those things, then you'll be able to do what verse 13 says. Wherefore, take you to the whole armor of God. By the way, the whole armor of God, the whole armor of God, not part of it, not all but one piece, the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day and having done all to stand. And if you'll do these things, I promise you, when that evil day comes, you will stand in the day of spiritual battle. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the things we've heard tonight. And Lord, thank you, Lord, for the truth of your word. Now, God, there's no doubt spiritual battles are coming for all of us. Lord, many people are right now in the midst of one. And if they're not, they're going to be going through one very soon. Lord, it's just part of the Christian life, Lord. It's part of what we face as Christians. Help us, God, that when those times come, help us, Lord, to be able to win. Lord, the point in every battle, there's a winner and a loser. Lord, help us to be the winner and help the devil to be the loser. May we take these principles we heard tonight and put them to practice in our lives. Bless our church, God. We need you, Lord, and help us in this area in Jesus' name.